praise the Lord. It is good to see you. Everybody got in here without getting wet? For the most part? All right. Were we a talkative bunch tonight? Well, I got something to help you out. Today's my mom's birthday, by the way, so happy birthday, Mom. Talked to her a little bit earlier, but she said, you know, every once in a while when you get up there on that stage, you can kind of wink at me or let me know. Happy birthday. Today's Brittany's birthday. 29th birthday. Yeah. I asked my mom if it was her 39th birthday. So never ask a woman her weight or her age. That's the rule. Well, pray. Yeah. Or if she's pregnant. That's. Ask me how I know. My goodness. Moving on. There was a little old lady who was nearly blind, and she had three sons who wanted to prove which one was her favorite. Son number one bought her a 15-room mansion, thinking this would surely be the best of any item that could be offered to her. Son number two bought her a beautiful Mercedes with a chauffeur included, thinking this would surely win her approval. Son number three had to do something even better, so he bought a parrot. It had been trained for 15 years to memorize the entire Bible. You could ask the parrot any verse in the Bible and he'd quote it word for word. What a gift this would be. Well, the old lady went to the first son and said, "Son, the house is just gorgeous, but it's really just too much for me. I only live in one room and it's too large to clean and take care of. I really don't need the house, but thank you anyway." Then she confronted her second son and said, "Son, the car is beautiful. It has everything you could ever want. But I don't drive, and I really don't like the chauffeur, so please take the car away and return it." Next, she went to son number three and said, "Son, I just want to thank you for the most thoughtful gift. That chicken was delicious." Gotta love mom. So there you go. Chicken was delicious. Praise God. Well, we're going to get into the Word tonight. I got something that I believe will bless you and help you. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is Wednesday night Bible study, so we're going to look at a number of scriptures. Amen. Somebody say, "I'm his favorite." You are his favorite indeed. You know, if you look through the entire Bible, you see that same idea from cover to cover, that you are his choice. You are his favorite. Deuteronomy 7, verse number 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Somebody point to yourself and say, "He chose me." Say, "I'm his favorite." Glory to God. Don't you believe that? Man, if you don't, you'll be believing that by the time we're done here tonight. You ought to believe that. You ought to be thinking that way. You are his choice. And believe it or not, he knew what he was getting when he got you. Did you know that? I mean, we'll get into some scripture so that you can understand that. But you are his choice. He has chosen you, and he knew exactly what he was getting. How many of you knew what you were getting when you married? Huh? Maybe. Doug's going, "Maybe." All the good things, right? All the good things, yeah. Well, when we meet somebody, you know that sometimes there's some things that are hidden, some things that are below the surface over there, but God knew what he was getting when he got you. And you're something special to him, and I'm convinced there is something within each and every one of us that longs to belong, that longs to be chosen. You know, I remember many, many years ago, back in 1986, my dad moved us from the big city, from Austin, to Elgin, which was a cow town back then. It was about 20, 25, 30 minutes east of Austin, and there wasn't much around there. A lot of the people that lived in town were farmers, ranchers, and so I went from being a city boy to being a cowboy, all in a moment, just like that. So, as you could imagine, there were some challenges that arose. See, I was a city boy, grew up listening to rap music, and oh, dear God, can you believe that? I mean, this is the 80s, man. I had the parachute pants and had the boom box and had the cardboard so I could do the break dancing thing, listen to all, you know. I mean, that's what I was all about. Yeah. Hard to picture, isn't it? It was hard to picture at the moment. Yeah, so he decided, you know, some things went on, and actually we were going to be closer to his job because his Pepsi plant was moved out to east of Austin, so we were going to be a little bit closer. But he moved us out of there, moved us to a whole nother time, It's like time stood still when we moved out there. But yeah, so we moved and tried so hard as you can imagine. How many of you ever moved? You know, you moved from one city to the other. You know what that was like. You're trying to fit in. You're trying to learn all the new kids and the way it's done in town. And man, I was trying so hard to fit in and belong. And notice when I got to school, first day of school, I got there and everybody was wearing boots. Hardly anybody wore tennis shoes. And so I didn't own a pair of boots. Didn't even know about boots. Didn't know how to wear boots. And so we went down to the local Walmart, and I said, Mom, I got to have a pair of boots. So she bought me some of these black and red with red stitch, pointy toe, cheap boots. Well, that wasn't a good choice. Because see, if you know anything about boots, you know, ropers or, you know, the round-toed are for everyday use. That's what they wore. That's, you know, that was like wearing tennis shoes to you and I. It's just what they wore every day. So I tried hard and bought the wrong pair. Well, that was buying the wrong pair that I was stuck with, so I had to wear them. Well, I got made fun of. That didn't help the situation. So yeah, I was trying to belong, trying to fit in, there's something inside of each and every one of us, like I said, that just longs to belong, longs to be chosen, longs to fit in. And so I longed to find my place, and I tried hard. Amen. Can't you relate to that? Well, you understand, nothing else but the Lord could ever fulfill the inner longing that we have for belonging and purpose. Let that really sink in. Nothing else but the Lord can ever fulfill the inner longing we have for belonging and purpose. Later he says it this way in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For you are a holy people unto the Lord. The Lord has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself." That word peculiar is just a word that means exclusive. It means that you belong exclusively to another. You are his only and nobody else's. So when it says that you are a peculiar people unto himself, he's saying you are mine, I chose you. You are mine, I chose you. And because of that, you are something special. Amen. You remember the old movie, the movie The Help? Came out in 2011. The nanny has the little girl on her lap, and she tells her, she says, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." Well, the Lord is telling you, you're important to me. I chose you. You're special to me. He says, you're a special treasure. You're a peculiar people. See, your life has value, and it is important to him. So don't ever look at yourself and say, nobody cares. If I just went away, everything would be solved. Nobody would miss me. No, 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 no. Don't you ever think that way. Think about this. John 3, one of the most familiar passages in all the Scripture. John 3, verse 15 and 16 and 17 says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now let me tell you something, that's contrary to popular belief. See, religion would tell you that God's up in heaven with a great big old hammer waiting to smack you upside the head with it. So that's not what this word says here. That's not what this scripture says. He said, not willing. Notice here, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When God sent his Son and shed his blood on Calvary, he washed away every bit of sin and failure in your life, past, present, and future. Again, you are God's special treasure, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. Let that sink in tonight. Look over at Isaiah 43. Just another way of saying some of these. Didn't come to condemn you. Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26 says, I, even high, am he that blots out your transgressions. Notice it says, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you might be justified. In other words, what all this is saying is you don't have to go on paying for your wrongdoing. You know, there's people that believe that I could never measure up because of something that happened 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm not worthy. God could never use me. He could never forget because of something that happened all that time ago. Listen, you don't have to keep paying the price. Look over at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse number 10. Psalm 103:10 says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So you no longer have to focus on your failure or your inadequacy. You get a clean slate with Him. Now, I know this sounds like a salvation message, but that's all right. It's Wednesday night. This is Wednesday night Bible study. I think we know everybody in here. Everybody's born again, saved, right? I mean, I need to hear this. I don't know about you. No matter how studied I am, no matter how much I'm in this, no matter how saved I think I am, we all need to hear this. But there's a reason we're getting to it. Stay with me now. Jesus Himself in Matthew 20, verse 16, and chapter 22, verse 14 says, For many are called, but few are chosen. Somebody say, I'm one of the few. He said in John 15, 16, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, fruit that remains. So again, He says, I have chosen you. Chosen is a Greek word that means to hand pick. It means to gather up. And so whenever it says that He has chosen you, it refers to a person who was picked out, personally chosen from a larger group for a specific and special service. Actually, if you study this word out in time, it says this. The word was used for the selection of men for military service. And actually, it goes even further than that. It refers to within this group of men for military service. It goes even further and it refers to these select men out of an entire group of military to go on a specific mission or assignment. So when the Bible says that He chose you for a specific assignment. He chose you out of all the people that He could choose. He selected you for this time, for this hour, with a specific purpose. Thank God. You know, we could relate to possibly the Army Rangers or the Navy SEALs, the elite. You know, that's what this word is talking about. It's talking about a select group of individuals. Amen. Many, many years ago when I was going from my freshman to my sophomore year of high school, I purchased a moped. And in town, I think I was the only guy in town that had a moped, but I was also the only 15-year-old that was driving legally. Because, you know, again, grew up in farm country, so all my friends, you know, drove trucks and combines and all that stuff out in the field, but I was driving legally. I had a moped. And so I decided that I was going to get a job. And working at the local grocery store, did that. But then one summer, I just decided that I was going to work with a buddy of mine, and we had I think if I'm remembering right, it was a science teacher, and he was a hippie man. He had the long hair and had the wife with the hair under her arms. Is that okay to say? If it wasn't, I apologize. They were hippies, man. And so they had an organic farm. He was a science teacher during the week, but they had an organic farm. You know, that was before organic was popular. He had an organic farm. And so he was growing Roma tomatoes. You know what a Roma tomato is? It's that right there on the screen. That's a Roma tomato, kind of an oblong, not round, but, you know, a little bit smaller than a normal one. And so Roma tomatoes were real popular, and so I took this job working for this hippie science teacher. And so during the summertime, I'd ride my moped out there. It'd take 30 minutes because, you know, you can only go 20 miles an hour or something. So it'd take 30 minutes to get out to this guy's house. So I'd meet my buddy out there, and we would pick. We were getting started early. I forget, probably 5:30, 6 o'clock before it got real hot. And so we were out in the ant mounds, you know, out in the ant mounds, picking these tomatoes in 100-degree weather by the time we were done. I mean, I know, I don't even have to think about it. I know that I was not paid well. And so we would pick for a while. We'd hand select these tomatoes. And so what we would do is we would pick these tomatoes, and there were specific ones that he was looking for, because we had a specific audience that we were picking these tomatoes for. See, once we were done, we gathered all of them up, and then we went to several different locations. We went to the University of Texas campus because, you know, they were hippies too, and so they wanted the hippie organic stuff. So we would go to campus, and we there was a market there where we would sell these tomatoes. And so we would load up, and we'd take some of them there. Then we would go to the fresh markets. We would go to the grocery stores, but then we would also go to the restaurants. He had accounts with all of these places. And so what we would do is we would hand pick all this, we'd gather it up in my friend's truck, and then we'd go to Austin, and we would sell these tomatoes to these different places. And so whatever we sold, we got a cut of the product. Well, what we took to the campus was the least of the quality. So the worst of what we picked went to the University of Texas campus. Well, then the middle grade stuff went to the fresh markets and to the grocery stores. But then the hand-picked select, the best looking of all of them, went to the restaurants. And so you understand, whenever you're thinking about he has chosen you, he has hand-selected you for a prime purpose. Wow. Think about that. You have a specific purpose in being on this earth. One of the greatest revelations that you could ever receive is God chose me. And when you begin to understand God chose me, then you begin to understand and realize I'm valuable to Him. Your life has value. You are handpicked. See, far too many people find all the reasons as to why they wouldn't or even couldn't be selected, couldn't be used, couldn't be picked, couldn't be loved. Whether it's geography, where you come from, whether it's your social status, whether it's socioeconomic, in other words, whether you have money or not, whether it's your education. You know, a lot of people look at those things and they evaluate their life, the value of, and they just decide, well, you know, I'm worthless. I could never be used because of. And that's so far from the truth. When you understand that He hand selected you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4 says, He has chosen us in Him, now watch this, before the foundation of the world. Somebody say before. Before. Now that's just a simple word, before. But when you take it in context, according, look over there, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You can't get any more before than that, can you? Before this whole thing came into existence. The Bible says, what? It says, He chose you. He chose you before. He chose you before this whole thing came about. He chose you. Isn't that what the Scripture says? In Jeremiah 1:5, a very familiar passage of Scripture, think about this. Before. Somebody say before. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And long before, I added the long, and long before you came forth out of the womb, in other words, long before you were even conceived, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What was he saying? He was telling Jeremiah, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you for a specific purpose long before. Long before you were ever created, long before this world ever came into existence, I created you for right now, for this moment in time. Your life has purpose tonight. I'm telling you, your life has purpose. You are no accident. You may have surprised your parents, but you did not surprise God Almighty. Thank God for that. Amen. Look over at Psalm 139. Are you with me tonight? This is meant to encourage you, to help you. You'd be surprised the number of people that deal with this. Glory to God. Psalm 139, verse 14. Says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That word unperfect means unformed. In other words, you weren't created yet. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He's thinking about you. Just that process alone ought to help you out there. He's thinking about you. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If I should count what? His thoughts towards you. He's thinking about you. You are on his mind tonight. You are a significant part of God's plan for this earth at this time in eternity. You have a purpose. You have a plan to fulfill. I like the way Rick Renner refers to this. He said, God didn't bring you into the world so that you would live a pointless and inconsequential life. Another guy said this, we think freedom is the absence of boundaries, the ability to control our own destiny and make our own choices. But in fact, true freedom is the absence of things that enslave us, manipulate us, or dominate us. It is the confidence to be who we were designed to be. It is the ability to do what we have been created to do. That's true freedom. Amen? All of that because God chose you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Think about this. Skirting around the edges of darkness is not the way someone who is called and chosen should respond. Well, that's why we're talking about this tonight. If you are hand-selected, hand-picked, chosen by God, then your life ought to reflect it. There ought to be certain characteristics about your life that ought to be evident to everybody else. So that's why he says in 1 Peter here, that's why it says that he has called us out of darkness and into the light. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. You see, the Bible clearly tells us that he has separated us from our sin. So we're no longer who they say we were. We are separated and we are sanctified. You know, I love so much the story of the prodigal son. Look over there at Luke chapter 15. You know the story, so we'll not get into all of it. But I want to point out a particular thing. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says that the man had two sons, and the younger said unto the father, Father, give me the portion of goods, and he divided it unto them his living. You know the story. The Bible says that the younger son went out and he, with riotous living, he wasted everything. But then he came to himself and he came back to the father. But notice this. Let's jump in here in verse number 18. Because this, what I want you to see is this is the thought process of somebody that has no idea that he is worthy. He has no idea that he has chosen. So in verse number 18, he comes to himself. Verse 18, he says, I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Listen, that's the thought process that a lot of people have. They think God could never use me because of the mistakes I've made in my life. He arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, if you study out this one passage of Scripture, verse 20 right here, you study it, a lot of commentaries say that those words break down to mean that that father was always looking. He was always looking in the distance, and when it says that he saw him from afar off, it implies that he was ever watching for his son to come back. Watch this next passage. Verse 21 says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." You know, he never answers the son. We don't see in this passage that it specifically that he answers his own self-accusations. "I am no more worthy to be called your son." He doesn't respond. He simply says to the servants, he said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it back on him. Put the ring on his hand, shoes on his feet." He says, "Get this boy back where he's supposed to be." Well, that's what God wants to do with you. That's why he says from cover to cover. That's what we're reading in it. From cover to cover, he says, "I chose you. I 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 chose you before. Tony, there's not one thing that you could have done to where he says, "Well, I can't use you anymore." There's not one thing in your life that would ever cause him to look at your life and say, "I was good up until that point." There's not one thing. Before the foundation of the world, before you were ever conceived, the Bible says, he called you. Oh, let that sink in. I said, let that sink in. He called you. Look over at Isaiah 43. Say, he chose me. Isaiah 43. Let's start with verse number 1. It says, "But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." Watch this. "You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be there. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say unto the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Amen. Say, "I am his." That's what he said, didn't he? He said, "You're mine." You know, in Matthew 24, in a couple passages, Matthew 24, verse 22 and verse 31, Jesus refers to us as his elect. It's another way of saying chosen ones, but notice that word elect. In verse 31, it says, chapter 24, verse 31, Jesus said, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect." Somebody say, "That's me." "And they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." You know, we've looked at several of these words, chosen and different things, peculiar, but another word here that's used, and again, it all goes back to the same words, But notice the word elect. The word elect here, when he says his elect or calls for his elect's sake, elect is that which is preferred. It's to pick out or to choose. Anybody of you got a watermelon this 4th of July? Anybody go get a watermelon? Well, you had to go into the big box and you had to pick one out. You had to elect one worthy to go home with you. Now listen, some of you smelled it, some of you thumped it, some of you looked at it, you had your way of doing it. It's probably all wrong, because it doesn't matter if you thump it, smell it, or look at it, you might get a dud. That's right. But you elected one, didn't you? You selected one. So a watermelon was deemed worthy to go home with you. That's what the word elect means. And so the word elect is designated by God on somebody as the object of his mercy. In other words, you as the elect of God become his benefactor or the recipient. So look over, with that in mind, look over at Romans chapter 8. See, I'm his favorite. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now stay with me. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Somebody say, "That's me." "It is God that justifies. Who is he that it condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? For it is written, 'For your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Say, "I'm his elect." You're there in Romans. Turn back to Colossians, or turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, says, "Put on as the elect of God." Somebody say, "That's me." "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God the Father by him." Notice that word, beloved. Notice that word, beloved. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Notice that word beloved. The word beloved is a Greek word for love. In the particular tense used, it is significant because it translates to something that's important in context of all that we've been reading tonight. The word beloved, similar to the word chosen, similar to the word elect, similar to the word peculiar, the word beloved is a Greek word for love. And in the particular tense used, it translates to mean three things. It means that he has loved us. It means that he still loves us in the present. And it means that he will yet continue to love us in the future. Why? Because he chose you. I said because he chose you. Psalm 36:7 says, how priceless is your unfailing love. Oh, thank God. You know, when you study scriptures, when you study Psalms, 70 times David and others refer to God's love as unfailing. So if you are his chosen, and you are the elect, and you are peculiar, and you are separated, all these words we just looked at, how should you act as the elect of God? What should you expect as the elect of God? See, there is great privilege and great responsibility placed on those who are chosen to live in a way that reflects honorably to their calling. And so you have been selected, but you've also been protected. You weren't just selected in time and thrown out there and say, all right, I picked you, good luck. That's not what we see. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse number 1, says, when I pass through the troubles of life, you are with me. The raging rivers cannot sweep over me. I walk through fiery trials with confidence and emerge unharmed. I stand in the midst of Satan's fire, shielded by your hedge of protection. Not even the smell of smoke can touch me. Anybody ever heard that phrase, the hedge of protection? You know, I remember my mama as a kid, she would pray about angels, praying a hedge of protection. Right? Hedge of protection. Well, if you remember in Job, and we'll not study out the Job right now, but if you go over to Job, you actually read about a hedge of protection. Look over real quick at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, starting with verse number 6, says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence come you? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now understand something, God wasn't selling out Job. Okay? You know, if you just read that, especially if you read in the King James Bible, have you considered Job? In other words, he's yours, go right at it. No, that's not what it's talking about. He's saying, have you set your heart on him? Have you already set your eyes and your heart on him? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? For, now Satan talking to God, he says, have you not made a hedge about him? And about his house? And about all that he has on every side? In other words, Satan himself knew that it was God's customary response to his chosen people to put a hedge of protection around them. So Satan's response is, have you not already set a hedge about him? Are you seeing this? Well, have you not made a hedge about him? You know, there's a scripture in 1 John 5:18 that is important to understand in relation to this scripture. It says, we know that whoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Job did something here that caused that hedge to be lowered. Well, we all know what that was. The Bible tells us, and again, we're not going to take the time to get into this tonight, but Job was offering prayers and sacrifices out of fear for his kids. Just real quick, in verse number 5, and it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be, everybody say maybe. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. In other words, he was offering sacrifices just in case But he was doing it out of fear. As a result, that hedge was removed. His fear removed his own hedge. Are you seeing that? In the Passion Translation, 1 John 5:18 says, "We are convinced that everyone fathered and chosen by God does not make sinning a way of life, because the Son of God protects the child of God, and the evil one cannot touch him." Well, you may be his chosen. You may be peculiar. You may be set apart. You may be sanctified. You may be his special treasure. And all of that is true. We see that from cover to cover. We haven't even touched the Scriptures. We know that to be true. But you still have a responsibility. You still have a responsibility. It's not about your actions. It's not about you. We know from Scripture that it's based on righteousness, but you still have to have a proper response. That's what I'm trying to get a hold of you. Notice what it says here. "We know that whoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not." We are a chosen people, but it's important that we keep ourselves in that position. Amen? And we'll get into that next time we come together. How about that? Praise God. Everybody stand to your feet. Because I am convinced, according to Scripture, that there is ways that we see in Scripture. Notice it says, "He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not." I'm convinced that there are ways that you can keep yourself protected so that he does not have access to you. Amen? Praise God. And again, we'll get into that a little bit more. Just be encouraged tonight. You are his chosen people. He chose you. He handpicked you. He selected you. Grade A prime. That's you. That's the best. I said that's the best. You're the best. And you were chosen. We'll see another scripture. Actually, in the Bible, it says you are chosen for this day and this hour and this moment in time. Anybody ever had the thought, man, I wish I could have grown up back in the 50s, or I wish I could have grown up back in the Western days? Or, well, he chose you for now. And because he chose you for now, you have a specific purpose on this earth, and so it's important for you to be in your place fulfilling that purpose, because he needs you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we're thankful for your word tonight. Your word is the truth that makes us free, and we endeavor to dive into your word always and find out the truth. Glory to God. You chose us. You selected us. You called us as your own, and you call us yours. And we're thankful for that. Thankful, Father, that you keep us, that you protect us, that you do indeed give your angels charge around us. We are indeed protected. Oh, Father, we're thankful for that always. Each and every day, we thank you. You give your angels charge over us. We're thankful for your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise God. Pastor Mark, you got anything? Amen. Don't forget, stay and pray with us tonight. If it works out with your schedule, stay for a little bit. Stay all the time. Whatever you can do. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Amen.